Good afternoon.
各位下午好。
Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 if you're not already there.
如果你们已经把圣经打开的话，可以翻到彼得前书四章第一节。
How much time do you think you have left in life?
你们有没有想过，在你们人生当中还有多少时间已经还剩下？
My father is almost 91.
David 牧师的父亲呢，已经91岁了。
So perhaps I will have another 30 years to live.
David 想，也许对他来说，他还有另外的30年可以活。
But I had a younger cousin.
但是他有一个年轻的侄女。
And she's already dead.
他已经去世了。
So maybe I won't live beyond tonight.
也许David 牧师不会活这么长时间。
I don't know.
我们不知道。
And you don't know.
你们也不知道。
We cannot choose how long we will live.
我们不能选择我们多长时间我们还会生活下去。
We can choose for what we will live.
但是呢，我们可以选择的是呢，我们为什么好活，为什么会活下去。
That is a more important question.
这也是更重要的问题。
What will my goals be?
就是我们接下来的目的是什么。
What will my purpose be?
我们的目的我们的刚才我们的目标是什么？我们的目的是什么
？For what will I strive during whatever time I have left？
在接下去生活当中，我们要努力去完成什么事情呢
？Peter has been exhorting the readers of this letter about suffering。
彼得呢，在今天这个经文当中教导信徒们有关受难的话题。
He connects our response to suffering with our purpose in life。
他把我们对受难的反应。与我们在生活中的目的相联系在一起。
The beginning of chapter 4 looks behind and beyond suffering.
第四节的开始呢，它介绍了受难的背后以及受难将来。
Jesus had a purpose in suffering.
耶稣的受难，他是有目的的。
Jesus suffered in order to bring us to God.
耶稣受难目的呢，是要为了把我们带回到神的面前。
Our sin had separated us from God.
我们罪把我们跟神隔离开了。
The penalty for sin had to be paid.
对罪的惩罚一定要付出，一定要付出。
Jesus paid that penalty.
其实耶稣已经为我们偿还了。
He made the way open to God.
他所做的就是给我们回到神的面前，指出一条道路。
Behind his suffering, there was a purpose.
我们可以看出，在他的受难背后是有这个目的的。
Jesus is most importantly our Savior.
耶稣是我们最重要的一个救主。
But he is also an example.
他同时也是我们一个榜样。
His attitude is the attitude we should have.
耶稣的态度，也就是我们需要去学习的。
He suffered at the hands of sinful men.
他的受难是在一些罪人的手里面受难。
But he himself did not sin.
但是呢，耶稣本人他没有犯罪。
He suffered to save us from sin.
耶稣受难的目的是把我们要从这个罪当中解救出来。
He suffered to fulfill the will of the Father.
他受难的目的就是要完成父神的意愿。
He died, was raised again, and exalted to the right hand of the Father, where he lives forever.
耶稣死了，但是呢，他又被复活，然后呢，升天，坐在父神的右边，一直跟父神一直永远的生活着。
Similarly, we should arm ourselves with this attitude.
相同的，我们也应当用这样的心智来作为我们兵器。
We should live to fulfill God's will.
我们应该这样，我们应该生活，我们应该活着去完成神的意愿。
And we can expect eternal benefit.
这样的话，我们才会有这个永远的、永久的生命。
These three things are developed in these first six verses of 1 Peter chapter 4.
这三点我们刚才说提到，就是在这个经文中所介绍的。
First, arm yourselves with the attitude which Christ had.
第一点就是。要用耶稣的态度来做我们兵器。
Attitude in verse 1 means a way of thinking or even an insight.
在第一节中所用的这个态度呢， 他的意思就是一种思考的方式，或者是我们的这种洞察力。
One lexicon suggested for this verse, arm yourselves with the same insight.
也有其他的解释是，也有其他是英文是这样解释的，它是就是说用这种洞察力来武装我们，在做我们兵器。
Jesus had certain insight into his suffering.
耶稣对他的受难，他有他自己的内在的看法。
He was willing to endure it without seeking vengeance.
耶稣也愿意去接受这样的受难，但是呢，他不会去追求寻求报复。
He knew that he was right.
他知道他所做的所有的一切都是正确的。
He knew that his suffering had a purpose.
他也知道他受难的是一个目的。
His death would bring us to God.
因为他的死会把我们带到神面前。
The word Jesus Christ became flesh.
这个世界耶稣基督他也是个普通人，他也成为一个普通人。
He lived among men.
他生活在我们中间，生活在我们的中间。
He suffered among men.
他也在我们的人类人中受难。
He died for man.
但是呢，他也为我们人而死。
His way of thinking was to obey the Father.
所以他这种思维的方式乃是要遵循神的命令。
He remained sinless throughout his suffering, despite having taken on flesh.
在所以他受难当中，他我们刚才提到，他从来没有犯罪，尽管是以他这种肉体的方式存在着。
He resisted all that is sinful.
他拒绝了所有罪的诱惑。
He endured the cross because he saw the purpose in it.
然后呢，他也在十字架上受难，因为他看到这受难背后的目的。
This attitude towards suffering, this insight into suffering, is our tool or weapon.
他这样的一种心智来面对受难，以这样的态度洞察力或者内在看法来看待受难，应该成为我们的兵器。
We are in a spiritual battle.
我们一直在属灵中征战。
We need to be properly equipped for this battle.
所以说，我们也应该在这征战中，应当有合适的装备自己。
As we follow Jesus, we can expect to be treated like Jesus was treated.
每当我们遵循耶稣的时候，我们可以想到我们会受到像耶稣一样的迫害。
All who would live godly will suffer persecution.
所有过义生活的人都会受到这样的迫害。
We need to be properly equipped for this journey, for this battle in which we are engaged.
所以说，在这样的征战的过程当中，我们应当要正确的来装备自己。
I believe that the last half of verse 1 applies first of all directly to Jesus Christ.
David 牧师认为在第一节的最后一部分是直接指在耶稣本人。
He is the one who suffered.
是因为是耶稣他受到受难。
By his suffering, he put an end to the power of sin.
通过他受难呢，他已经与罪隔离。
Indirectly, this applies then to believers.
间接的呢，这也指我们信徒，我们信徒们。
By union with Christ in his death, the believer has also died to sin.
通过耶稣的死，信徒们与罪也已经隔离了。
Romans 6 verse 7 says that the one who has died is freed from sin.
罗马说六章第七节这样写道，因为已死的人是脱离了罪。
Christ died.
耶稣已经死了。
Sin had no power over him.
所以说罪再也不会统治他。
We are in Christ.
我们在耶稣当中。
We have died with Christ.
我们跟耶稣一起死了。
Sin no longer has any authority over us.
所以说我们可以这样说，罪再也不会统领我们。
We are therefore to live in a way that recognizes this truth.
因此我们现在活着的方式也应该体现出这一点来。
We arm ourselves for spiritual battle with this insight.
在属灵的征战中，我们应当用这样的态度来作为我们的兵器。
Through the death of Christ, sin no longer has any power over us.
通过耶稣的死，罪再也不会统领我们。
The righteous suffering of Jesus not only made forgiveness possible.
耶稣的受难不但使赎罪变得更有可能。
The death of Jesus truly brought us to God.
耶稣死真正的把我们带回到神的面前。
By the death and resurrection of Christ, we have new life in Christ.
通过耶稣的死和耶稣的复活，我们在耶稣里面已经有自己的生命，我们新的生命。
We are no longer slaves to sin.
我们不再是罪的奴隶。
We are free to live righteously.
我们可以自由地过公义的生活。
Some believers have a defeatist attitude.
有一些信徒呢，他们反而是有一些失败者的。
They act as if sin is inevitable.
他们的行为暗示着他们好像罪是不可避免的。
They might say when they sin, well, we're just human.
每当他们犯罪时，他们有可能会说，我们只是人类。
They seem to imply that being human means that we must sin.
他们似乎在暗示着，我们作为人类，我们一定是要犯罪的。
But Jesus suffered in the flesh and did not sin.
但是呢，耶稣在肉体上受罪，但他没有从来没有犯罪。
He suffered in the flesh to release us from the bondage of sin.
耶稣肉体上所受的罪，解除了我们对罪的捆绑。
We are no longer bound to sin.
所以说，我们不应该。不应该再受罪的捆绑。
And that thought should influence our thinking.
我们应该用这样的思维来支持我们的行为。
When sin confronts a believer, the true believer is free not to sin.
每当罪降临到一个信徒人的身上的时候，真正的信徒他们是不会犯罪的。
The true believer is in Christ.
因为真正的信徒是跟耶稣在一起。
And Christ is in us.
耶稣也在我们中间。
Jesus Christ was fully God and fully human.
耶稣是完全的神，也是完全的人。
He was tempted just as we are.
他就像我们一样。
He suffered.
他也受到好受难。
But he did not sin.
但是他也没犯罪。
Now look at verses 2 and 3.
接下去我们看一下第二跟第三节，我把它念一下。你们存这样的心，从今以后就可以不从人的情欲，只从神的旨意在世度余下的光阴。因为往日随着外邦人的心意行邪淫、恶欲、醉酒、荒宴、群淫，并苦恶拜偶像的事，时候已经过了。
Differences in translation hint at the challenges in translating and interpreting these verses.
在翻译上的不同的，在翻译上集中不同的我们在翻译上以及中不同的方式，这表明了在理解这些经文上是有一些难度的。
But we can still get at the main thoughts.
但是呢，我们也可以从中理解我们主要的观点。
First, there should now be a new orientation in our lives, verse 2.
在第一点就是说，第二节经文所说的，在我们的生活当中，现在应该有一种全新的方向。
We should now live our lives for the will of God.
我们应该行神的旨意。
Okay, yeah. Short. We should no longer be doing the second. The time spent as an unbeliever doing evil should now be behind us. Verse 3.
第二点就是第三节经文中所告诉我们的，告诉我们作为在非信徒时所度过的光阴，应该被抛弃在我们的背后了。
We should no longer be doing the evil things that went along with a pagan way of life.
我们也不应该再行恶，过外邦人一样的生活。
It's now possible to connect verses 2 through 5 to the overall theme of suffering.
现在的话就可以把第二跟第五节经文与受难的主题可以联系在一起。
First, observing Christ should motivate us to suffer without sinning.
第一点就是说，遵行耶稣可以帮助我们在受难时不去犯罪。
Both in turn strengthens us to abstain from sin.
这样两者都可以加固我们远离罪恶。
Many of the sins which are mentioned in verse 3 appear especially connected to a lack of restraint.
在第三节中所提到的一些很多的罪是往往是跟缺乏制约相联系在一起。
Peter mentions living with uncontrolled passions.
彼得提到这种随心所欲的生活。
He mentions drinking until one gets drunk.
像醉酒。
Then one loses control of oneself.
就是一个人失去他的控制。
He mentions acting as if there is no law or restrictions.
就是说一个人的行为 好像就没有法律，没有限制。
These are the types of words used here.
这些就是这所上上面刚才所提到一些行为，就是我们所要所立出来一些罪行。
These sins should no longer be a part of the Christian's life.
所以这些罪都不应该是我们基督徒的生活中的一部分。
Drunkenness, adultery, pornography, such sins have no place in our lives.
醉酒、邪淫，还有一些色情，所以这些罪在我们的生活当中都不应该有它的地位。
There was enough of such unrestrained, sinful living in the past.
在过去，我们已经犯了已经很多这样的罪。
We do not need to continue in it.
现在我们不应该继续下去。
If we chose to suffer for the sake of righteousness, we have chosen right over wrong.
如果我们选择了为义而受苦，那我们这样的选择是正确的，而不是错误的。
And that tends to set our resolve against further sin.
这种选择也有助于我们可以反对罪行。
Every time we choose right over wrong, we demonstrate the work of God in our hearts.
每当我们选择正确的远离罪。
And that should encourage us to continue on.
所以说，这应该鼓励我们继续下去。
Such unrestrained living once filled the lives of the readers.
这种随心所欲的生活，充满了我们读者的生活。
It was a total waste of time when we think of eternity.
所以说，当我们在思考永恒的时候呢，其实我们一直在浪费生命。
If we want our lives to be meaningful, we must do that which has eternal value.
如果我们要想使我们的生命更有意义，我们必须要从这些事情中一些，我们必须要做一些有一些永恒价值的事情。
Such pagan activities have no positive value.
这种外邦人的行为是从来没有一些正面的价值。
What a waste of one's life.
所以这些行为一直在浪费我们的生命。
The time spent in such sin was more than enough.
在这些罪，我们所花在罪上的时间已经是足够了。
Now it is time to pursue righteousness, faith, peace, and love.
现在就是我们的时间，我们时刻来追求公义的，来追求我们的信仰、和平和爱。
Christ purposed to bring us to God.
耶稣有目的的把我们带到神面前。
He suffered unto death in order to do so.
他宁愿去死，也要去帮我们这样做。
His suffering and his exaltation are the basis for us to live triumphantly as well.
他的迫害是为我们过得胜生活建立的基础。
Peter encourages us to do so.
彼得一直在鼓励我们这样做。
Put all the evil ways behind us.
把所有这种罪恶的生活抛弃在我们背后。
Strive to follow the example of Christ.
我们应该努力的去追求耶稣的榜样。
Take encouragement from the fruit of his working in us as we successfully take a stand for righteousness.
从他对我们所做的工中得到鼓励，这样我们可以成功的过义的生活。
There's a further consequence to this in verse 4.
经文第四节中他也提到有进一步的后果。
When we abstain from sin, it leads to an alienation from sinners.
远离罪，这也可以使我们以罪的人所隔离。
Peter has mentioned a number of times that a righteous life will draw the attention of those around us.
彼得已经跟我们提过很多很多次了，过义的生活会引起我们周围的人的注意。
Remember from chapter 3 that a righteous life has the characteristics of gentleness and patience.
大家请记住，在第四节中，这种公义的生活，有这种性质，就像温柔、忍耐。
There will be some who will ask why.
有些人会问为什么。
God may use a righteous life to draw disobedient believers back to the truth.
神会用义的生活来召回那些不顺服的信徒。
But many who live in darkness will hate the light.
但很多生活在黑暗中的人会憎恨这种光明。
Verse 4 says, they will think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of and they heap abuse on you.
在第四节他也这样写道，他们在这些事上，见你们不与他们同奔那放荡无度的路，就以为怪诽谤你们。
A believer's life condemns the heathen.
信徒的生活是对异端的指责。
They respond defensively and contemptuously.
所以说，他们异端们他们会做出保卫性的或者亲密性的反应。
In John chapter 3 verse 20, it says, Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed.
David 牧师引用约翰福音三章二十节，我这样把它读出来。凡作恶的必恨光，并不来救光，恐怕他的行为受责备。
When we withdraw from sinful practices, we alienate ourselves from unbelievers.
每当我们从罪的行为中解脱开来的时候，我们就会与非信徒们远离了。
Remember the charge which Paul gives in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2.
请记住保罗在罗马书中十二章一到两节中的教导。
Do not be conformed to this world.
不要效法这个世界。
The world around us tries to form us into its shape.
我们周围这个世界，我们这个环境一直在塑造我们，成为它的形状。
The world is sinful and expects others to be sinful.
这个罪，世界是罪，充满了罪性，所以说也期望着我们也成为他们，也会犯罪。
The Christian who will not conform goes against the stream.
不合理的信徒们是与这个世界格格不入的。
Get too serious about spiritual concerns and the world will think you've gone crazy.
如果你太关注于这个属灵的真正的话，这个世界会认为你已经世界认为你很疯狂。
Even the family of Jesus thought that this was the case with him.
即使是耶稣的家人，他也有的时候也有这样同样的想法。
We find that in Mark chapter 3 verse 21.
在马克福音三章二十一节中这样写道：耶稣的亲属听见，就出来拉住他，因为他们说他癫狂。
We find this even among professing Christians at times.
我们有时候在忏悔基督徒中也会出现同样的想法。
The English translation which I use adds a word in verse 4 that limits the meaning unnecessarily.
在第四节经文当中，新NIV 版本中它加了一个字，但是David 牧师认为没有必要用这另外一个字来限制这个经文的意思。
The International Version has they heap abuse on you.
NIV 中它是这样，它是毁谤你们。
Others may have they malign you.
有些经文他们是这样说，他们是诋毁你们。
But the word you has been added.
在这里面这个你们这个词其实是他们后面的人加上去的。
Literally, it's they blaspheme.
如果直译的话，就是他们在是他们毁谤。
They malign or blaspheme not only the individual believer, but believers in general, God and the Christian faith.
他们诋毁，他们诽谤的不单是单个信徒，而且也是指所有的信徒们，神和基督徒的信仰。
For those who desire to fit in, this aspect of the Christian life is very challenging.
对于那些想加入外邦人生活中的人来讲，基督徒们的生活对他们来说是非常具有挑战性的。
We see this frequently in children.
其实我们可以经常在孩子们中发现的。
But I suspect it's just as prevalent among adults.
David 牧师也猜测，在我们成人当中这也是相当普遍的。
We act like those around us in order to fit in.
我们就像周围人一样，他们做出一样的行为举止，这样的话也可以帮助我们融洽到他们中间。
We do not like being different.
因为我们不希望被他们认为我们跟他们是不同的。
We do not like being outsiders.
我们不希望被他们认为我们是外来人。
So we sometimes hesitate to take a stand.
所以说有时候呢，我们不愿意去采取我们的立场。
If that's the case, fix your eyes on Jesus.
如果这是情况是这样的话，让我们把我们眼睛放在耶稣的身上。
Remember that he suffered righteously in order to free us to do what is right.
请记住，耶稣为义而受迫害，他的目的是要帮助我们重新取得自由，可以做正确的事情。
Remember when you have stood before, and take courage from the fact that God will work in you to do it again.
请再次记住，你们以前也是怎样的，请记住你们以前是怎样的，从神会为你做工中得到鼓励。
Another fact from verse 5 should encourage us as well.
在第五节经文中的另外一个事实可以帮助我们，可以激励我们。
Have you suffered without sinning?
你有没有受难而没有犯罪？
That marks you as one who will escape the judgment which sinners will face.
这就表明你不会受到罪人所得到的审判。
Would you read verse 5, please?
Okay. 我把第五节经文再读一下。他们必在那他们必在那将要审判活人死人的主面前交战。
Men will malign believers and God.
人们会诋毁信徒们，诋毁神。
But they do not realize that they will have to give account to God.
但是他们往往没有意识到，他们将来会给在神面前交战。
They will be judged as unrepentant.
他们会被认为是不悔改的。
One day, justice will be required.
有一天，正义会降临。
The emphasis that they will give account implies that the believer will not.
在这强调是他们会交战，就是说暗示着信徒们，信徒们作为我们不会这样做。
In Christ, there is no condemnation for the believer.
在耶稣耶里，对于信徒来说，这里面是没有指责的。
In the Old Testament, the judgment of the wicked is also often a vindication for the righteous.
在旧约中，对邪恶的审判也是对正义的赞同。
We should trust God to judge each person rightly.
因此，我们应该相信上帝，神会公义的审判每一个人。
This is what Jesus did, and Peter reports that in chapter 2, verse 23.
这也是耶稣所做的，就像彼得在二章二十三节中所讲述的。
Jesus trusted the one who judges justly.
耶稣呢，就像是把自己交托给父神，他会公义按公义审判的父神。
The judgment of those who malign us should not bring joy to us.
对毁谤我们。对毁谤我们的人所做的审判也不应该使我们感到高兴。
So, oh good, they're getting what they deserve.
也许我们会想，哦，那太好了，他们受到审判了。
It's important for us to have a compassionate attitude toward the lost.
对我们来讲，最重要的是要有一种同情的态度来对待那些迷失的人。
If they do not repent, God's judgment is waiting for them.
如果他们这帮人不悔改的话，神的审判一直在等待着他们。
In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says that God has purposed that each person die once and then face judgment.
在希伯来书九章二十七节中这样写道，按着定命，人人都有一死，死后却有审判。
Further on, it says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
进一步他说道，落在永生神的手里，真是可怕的。
Although our vindication may be a comfort to us, remember that we too would be judged if not for the grace of God.
尽管对我们的平凡，尽管对我们平凡对我们来说是一种安慰，但是请记住，如果没有神的恩典，我们也会受到审判。
As we look behind and beyond righteous suffering, there's a third and final observation which we can make.
所以说，当我们从受难背后以及受难的以外，我们可以观察到第三点。
We can expect eternal benefit when we suffer righteously.
每当我们为义而受苦的时候，我们可以期望永恒的好处。
Look at verse 6. Read that.
Yeah. 瓦加曲，我把第六节经文读一下。为此，就是死人也曾以福音传给他们。要叫他们的肉体按着人受审判，他们的灵性却靠神活着。
A careful reading of this verse is necessary to arrive at a proper interpretation.
如果要得出正确结论，我们应该要比较仔细的来读这段经文。
First, the word preached is in the past tense.
第一点就是说，在这里面所说的传福音，这是用的是过去时。
It is something that had already happened.
传福音这个事情已经发生了。
Peter is not talking about preaching which goes on now.
在这，彼得不是在说一些传福音，就是我们现在所传的福音。
This is not a second chance for people after they die to hear the gospel.
在这也不是指人死以后的第二次机会听到福音。
Second, Peter is clearly using contrast.
第二节就是说，在这彼得是明显在用对比。
First is a contrast made within the verse.
就是这个在这个经文当中，他是用了一个对比。
And that appears to relate to the contrast made earlier between believers who abstain from sin and the world who plunges into sin.
这个对比是关于远离罪恶的信徒们以沉沦于最终的这个世界。
I believe that Peter is speaking about believers who had died through persecution.
David 牧师认为，彼得所讲的是关于受迫害而致死的信徒们。
They might even have been believers whom the readers knew.
他们也可能是指一些读者们所知道的信徒们。
They had heard the gospel and believed.
他们听到了福音，并且呢，他们也相信了。
They had been judged by pagan people while they were living.
在他们的生活当中，他们受到外邦人的论断。
They had been judged by men according to a sinful carnal perspective.
他们也被人们用罪的肉体上的观点来审判。
But they are truly living because of God's work in the spiritual realm.
由于神的灵上所做的工，所以他们的的确确确实实的生活着。
The scandal of Christians is being removed.
神已经把耶稣把基督徒的坏的名誉已经除掉了。
The world may malign Christians.
这世界有可能会再次攻击信徒们。
But the world also maligned other believers who are now dead.
但是呢，这个世界也一直在攻击其他已经死的信徒们。
Though the world censured them, they have eternal life with God.
尽管这个世界一直在谴责他们，但他们在神那有永恒的生命。
This is the perspective which we need to have.
所以说，我们应该也拥有这样的观点。
No healthy person likes suffering.
从来没有一个健康的人来喜欢受难受苦。
Therefore, it's important to look behind the suffering to see its purpose.And beyond the suffering to see the ultimate results.
最重要的是我们应该看到迫害、受迫害、迫害背后的目的和以及迫害将来所受的最终的结果。
It is this which can give meaning to life, and especially meaning when there is suffering.
正是这样的观点可以给生命带来新的意义，特别是在迫害的过程当中。
We live with this principle daily.
我们应该每天用这样的原则来生活，按照这样的原则来生活。
We see it in sports and in medicine, just to name two areas.
我们可以举例来说，在体育当中，在医疗当中，经常看到这些。
Athletes go through much pain to experience a training effect to get better at what they do.
我们可以看到运动员们，他们要经过很多的苦难、很多的训练，以期要得到好的结果，做得更好。
We endure uncomfortable and even painful medical procedures for improved health.
我们有时候也要接受一些不舒服的，还会疼痛的治疗，以至于能够恢复健康。
Our walk with Christ needs that perspective.
所以说，每当我们与耶稣同行的时候，也需要有这样的态度。
Christ suffered unto death.
耶稣受难而死。
But he had a purpose.
但是，他的受难是一个目的。
And he remained righteous throughout his suffering.
就是说，在他受难过程当中，他从来没有犯过罪。
His suffering resulted ultimately in his exaltation.
他受难最终也得胜了。
His was a victorious suffering.
他的受难是成功的受难。
He conquered sin and has been exalted to the right hand of God the Father.
他征服了罪， 最后升天坐在神的右边。
I have a friend and colleague who serves with her husband as a missionary in France.
David 牧师他有一个朋友，也是他的同事，但是呢，就是他，他的太太跟他丈夫在法国做，做宣教。
She has a rare and complicated genetic disorder.
他太太呢有一种很罕见、非常很复杂的基因的突变。
Makes her weak and frequently causes her pain.
这种病呢使她变得很软弱，并且呢给她带来很多痛苦。
I talked with her a few weeks ago as I was preparing this message.
David 牧师跟他，在他准备这篇讲道的时候呢，跟他谈到过这个事情。
She shared a quote from an old friend who served many years in France.
他这个朋友呢，就跟 David 牧师，给他I'm sorry, let me try again. 他这个朋友就在给 David 牧师讲了一个很。讲了一句话，就是他一个朋友告诉他的。
The quote, "Suffering and weakness is the only way to reach the French people for Christ."
他朋友是这样跟 David 牧师说：“受难和软弱是唯一的一个途径，在法国人当中来宣传福音。”
She does not suffer because of sin.
他的朋友也不是因为犯罪他在受难。
She strives not to sin.In her suffering,
他朋友也没有在他的受难当中来犯罪。
And God may be using her weakness to reveal His strength and grace to others around her.
在这神有可能是用他的软弱来展现出神的力量和恩典。
She's living her life with her eyes on Jesus.
David 牧师的朋友呢一直。在把他眼睛放在耶稣身上，过他每天的生活。
She is living her life striving to do the will of God.
他也一直在过他努力过他的生活，来完成神的旨意。
She is living her life knowing that one day she will be fully alive in Christ with God.
他一直在努力的过他的生活，因为他知道有一天他最终会跟神。一直生活在一起。
Remember that Christ suffered.
大家请记住，神受过苦。
Remember that He did not sin.
再次记住，耶稣从来没有犯过罪。
Remember that He had a purpose in suffering.
我们也应该再次记住，在他所有的受难当中，他一直有一个目的。
He died to conquer sin and to bring us to God.
那就是耶稣的受难。他死，他是要为了要战胜罪，把我们带到神的面前。
Having this insight should equip us to follow Christ's pattern.
如果我们有这种观念或内在的看法，或者我们应该可以装备我们遵行耶稣的榜样。
Strive to live according to the will of God and not pursue evil desires.
我们应该根据神的旨意来努力生活。不是追求罪恶语。
Accept righteous suffering as that which will have eternal reward.
接受为义受的那会带来永恒的奖赏。
We should make our lives count for God now.
所以说，我们应该把我们的生命交托给神。